Wait, hang on.
We look like twins. Oh, sorry.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Always On Film, powered by Transmission Roundhouse.
Coming up on today's episode, we're recapping all things the BAFTAs, and we're also talking about all of the nominations and the winners and the categories in comparison with the upcoming Oscars. Enjoy.
Hi guys.
I would still like the toast conversation to be featured.
I can do that for you. Right in there.
Yeah. We'll just clarify, this is kind of a weird take two.
Yeah.
But I'll put it at the end after we say thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like that.
It's a really fun start to our episode.
Yeah. I'll be like, thanks for watching the episode. Listen to us chat about toast. And then I'll put in our fake intro.
It's a really fancy avocado toast.
Great. You didn't say it was avocado.
It was.
No way.
I smashed some avocado and put some salt and pepper on it.
So that's a 5 out of 5.
That's nice.
I had a lovely time.
What toast was it?
It was, I don't know. It was a fancy bread.
Sourdough?
We freeze bread, though.
Yeah, same.
So it was a seeded bread.
Mm. A seeded frozen bread.
A seeded frozen
nice.
Bread.
Nice.
That I defrosted and put some avocado on.
Nice.
Very nice.
And I also had a coffee.
Oh, nice.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
I know I feel really shit about myself. No, I'm kidding.
I had a bit of a morning, so I was like, let's have some actual food before I come here.
No, as you should.
I feel like every time we talk about each other's mornings, everyone's had a morning.
Yeah.
I fear every morning is a morning.
It's just getting
it's a morning.
I actually had quite a nice morning.
Yay.
For the first like 20 minutes.
Yay.
That for you. Yeah. Let's go.
Yeah. It was a nice 20 minutes. Then I got disturbed.
Well, the BAFTAs happened.
The
BAFTAs happened.
Yes.
Yeah.
With.
How did we watch them? Did you, because we were, me and Lou watched it together.
Yeah.
You were not with us.
No.
Sadly.
I unfortunately had to work that evening, but I got to watch some of it. I live streamed most of it while I was getting ready. It was actually kind of nice. I just had it on my iPad. It's kind of how I used to watch it when I was younger, so I felt a bit nostalgic just having it on my iPad while I was like tottering around my bedroom and listening in, tuning in here and there. And
that's very cute.
Yeah, it was actually quite nice.
Well, shall we go through the categories? Is that a good way of talking about?
I have my little notebook.
Yeah,
we'll go through the BAFTAs and compare with the Oscars, which is coming up, and go through who won and what we think.
Yeah, I like that. Should we look at the SAGs as well?
Yeah, because that's soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's on the 1st. So that's when's the first Sunday?
Wow.
Sunday.
Yeah.
Sunday already. Yeah.
Wow, yeah. Very quick turnaround.
Is it actually the SAG Awards or have they changed it?
Yes, it's now the Actors
Awards, right?
Yeah, they changed the name. It's no longer SAG Awards.
SAG Actor Awards presented by SAG-AFTRA.
Bit awkward if you win, if you win, like, screenplay and then it's, here's your actor award.
I guess it's because it's Screen Actors Guild, it's always been the Actors Award. Like they've just, I don't think a lot of people were actually aware of what SAG actually stands for.
Should we do actors first?
Yeah, we can.
So let's go supporting actor.
Sean Penn.
Was it kind of a surprise of the evening?
To me, it honestly really was. I mean, he was great in that film, no questions asked, but I really didn't. I thought it was going to go to Stellan Skarsgård.
Yeah. I thought it was going to go to I haven't seen Sentimental Value yet. Yeah. I will be shortly, but I've heard so many people rave about his performance in that. I really thought it was going to go to Sentimental Value. But I really liked Sean Penn's performance in One Battle After Another.
I did too. It was... Yeah. It was like a surprise, but a quote-unquote welcome surprise.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's like, oh... The BAFTAs go rogue sometimes anyway.
I love it.
And we were saying, I really like it too.
I love it when that happens because I think things can get a bit boring. Because you're just like, of course that person's going to win.
Oh.
So if it's a bit predictable, it kind of loses the excitement and the buzz whilst
the
you're watching it live.
Why do you keep coming to watch these ceremonies? Because, you're the expected winner. Might not always win. And so when something like Sean Penn wins, a bit awkward because he wasn't there, but you're like, oh my god. And we watched it with a group of people,
and I think like one out of 15 had put him down.
Yeah, we had like a ballot sheet that you filled out to sort of put your guesses in. So I think it makes it exciting. I'm not that I'm saying awards are boring, but...
No, I think it's not about... not even for me about predictability, because, like, for example, like, Jesse Buckley, I know I'm taking this, like, you know, we're going to talk about it in a second, but, I mean... She was just, everybody in that category is deserving of that award. But she is like the one person where I was like, I've very rarely seen a performance like that.
Yeah.
So like, and it kind of was a no-brainer.
Especially when it's a performance that you don't actually know if you could watch it again. Mm-hmm. I can't even remember the last time I felt like mm-hmm. that watching a film. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's like, it's so haunting. I feel like I can remember every single detail of her performance after one watch. And I don't need to... watch it again for me to remember how good she was in it.
Yeah. But Sean Penn was surprising. I mean, who's up for supporting for for the Oscars?
For Oscars, interestingly, Paul Mescal has not received a nom.
He's not? No. He was nominated for BAFTA though, right?
Yes. Okay. He didn't get one at the Oscars.
Interesting.
So for Oscars, it's Benicio del Toro, Jacob Elordi, Delroy Lindo, Sean Penn again, and then Stellan Skarsgård. So kind of...
Okay. I mean, oftentimes I feel like, especially with the BAFTAs and the Oscars, they do overlap in some points, but not often is it like alignment on all of the awards. Mm. It's going to be interesting to see who's going to get it.
Yeah.
Because I think this year is a very strong nomination year.
And it's been so neck and neck with Sinners and One Battle After Another.
Yeah.
And they're kind of consistently doing this, aren't
they?
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, especially because One Battle After Another led the nominations for the BAFTAs, but Sinners obviously made history and led it for the Oscars. So. Mm-hmm.
Which I'm really hopeful. I love that movie. I love that cast.
I know.
And then nice little segue
into actress.
Kwame Masaku.
Oh, yeah. Queen.
Which I think is my favourite win of the evening. I know that's a weird thing to say, like, what's your favourite win of the evening? But I was... Yeah. Beyond thrilled that she got it.
Yeah, me too. For some reason, I didn't think she was supporting. Like, her character was so... She had such a big impression on me that I was just like... I thought she'd be...
Main. I think ensemble, that... Yeah. Isn't it? It's an ensemble film, which I think when you start... Other than, obviously, Michael B. Jordan, who played two people.
Yeah, of course.
Well, he's like, I guess he's considered the, like, main lead in the film. Yeah. Even though
Miles Cand...
I'd argue and say that Miles Cotton is just as much a leading role, but then also so's the rest of the cast if you're looking at it from that point of view. Yeah. So it's hard to categorize it. I'm just happy so many people got a nomination for it.
Yeah.
And it's just like her speech was wonderful.
Yeah.
And I saw that you reposted on TikTok, actually, when she did her winner speech in the back, and she heard that Ryan...
She did it live. She saw it live, didn't she?
She reacted to Ryan Coogler winning, and it's just... It's always so wonderful. I think that was one of the things that really trialed throughout the evening and all of the speeches, is the support of these, like, of this group of nominees this year around, which... Everybody, of course, always acknowledges the production and the team and the family and the support, which is so, like, which is needed.
Yeah.
Because you need to recognize that. But this year, it really felt like the group of nominees supported each other and really wanted to be there for each other.
Yeah.
And, it felt like a really communal, communal experience this time.
It's so nice to see when someone like Wumi wins.
Yeah.
And it's for a role that is a horror role, so it doesn't get horror doesn't get recognised. She's the first, I think, I saw, again, forgive me if I've misquoted this, but I saw something like since 1969, it's the first time BAFTA's really awarded a horror film quite as prevalently as they have done.
Wow.
I think it's just really exciting for everyone to see people are beginning to get recognition for parts like women,
like Weapons is horror as well.
They got a nomination for Oscars. And she's Amy Madigan.
Yeah, and I believe she won. What did she? She won either the People's Choice Award or the Critics' Choice.
I think she got Critics.
Which she's the one who Variety is predicting to get that award as well.
Oscar.
Which will be interesting. But then also on a side note, I don't view Sinners as a horror film.
No, I see what you mean. It's
Southern Gothic. Well, it's like it's categorized as a horror film because, of course, you have like the gore elements and there's a lot of violence within the film. But I wouldn't view it as a horror film because the core is not horror. Mm. It's more about, you know, that everything that's not that, which is why I think it's gaining that amount of recognition because, like we said before, it was if you look at the poster, of course, you see Michael B. Jordan, who's like ready to fight, she looks very serious.
Yeah.
And that's what I went in expecting to see.
That's only like half of the film, though, isn't it?
I'd say not even.
It's the final act he's dressed like that. The rest of the film, it's like you said, I think people see the genre horror and immediately jump to things like The Exorcist and Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
When I don't think that's what horror stands for.
There can be a whole
anymore.
Spectrum of what is horror as well. Like also the vampiric elements in that. They had, I mean, technically it's gory, it's got adventure, it's got, I don't know, villains, but it's also got music, it's got soul, it's got, I don't know, it felt like almost probably a mix of genres. Just it had that element at the end, but the first, two acts of it was... just a really beautiful, interesting film with interesting multi-layered characters, with interesting music, with interesting plot. And I thought that, because I'm not really a fan of horror, to be honest, but I feel like that is what gripped me in. Mm-hmm. And then I was really invested in the last part, which I probably wouldn't have gone in excited to see a film if I thought that was the whole thing.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, but it had me like hooked.
I agree. Yeah. I also think it's an interesting film in how it's structured, in that the sort of epilogue... sort of end mid-credit scene is actually kind of the climax of the film.
Yeah.
In that you finally get this sort of really cathartic moment acknowledging that the horror element is also not something that people have wished for in the film. Like it's all sort of been done against their will and it's been left in this sort of situation where it's tragic. It's so, so sad.
Yeah.
And I think it's way more poignant and hard-hitting. And I'm not dismissing horror. I love horror. Mm. Love horror as a genre. I think it's great. But I also think
It's very multifaceted. And I think, like you said, like horror gets such a quote-unquote bad rap in the industry sometimes because of like the stereotypes, I guess, around it. Listen, I'm a big The Conjuring fan.
Yeah, yeah.
I've seen every single The Conjuring movie. I'll go to see that. I like the Scream movies. I mean, very different end of the spectrum as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that there's so much more to horror, and I agree. It's nice that like those movies are finally gaining a little bit of recognition because at the end of the day, the tension that it can be created by quote unquote those horror elements, even though I would consider it more a thriller than a horror.
Mm.
But that also depends on your interpretation of what horror is.
For sure.
But I think it creates a like fundamental base for conversations that would otherwise be quite, you know, like I think the beauty of Sinners is that it gives you the thriller elements, it educates you, it tells you personal story, it's a representation of history and love and community and all of that. And then it has that like that horror and twist element, and then it creates this completely atmospheric world that I've not met a single person who didn't like was completely in love with it.
Transfixed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, do we think...
Weapons was funny.
I mean, I didn't go see Weapons.
Should we talk about this? It's actually, I don't even know what we were doing, but Kitty and me were hanging out one day and we booked tickets to see Weapons when it was still in theatres in the morning, I think. And then
it was like a mid-morning.
And then, I don't know, we did something, whatever. And then we got to the station that was close to the cinema and I think it was... We looked at the poster or something and you were like, wait a second, this is a horror. And I was like, yeah. And she was like, So then we looked at the trailer and Kitty was like, I'm not watching that. So we like got all the way there and I was like, hey. Right.
I saw...
It's just like that one scene, isn't it?
I want to clarify because I've just said I love horror.
Mm.
I have a really weird relationship with horror where I think I love psychological horror. Like, I will happily watch that.
Like, the atmospheric
horror. It's like, I love Midsommar. I love The Shining. Yeah. Like, The Shining is one of my favourite films ever. But I have a real problem with gore and with depiction of injury.
Weapons is...
And I watched the trailer, and there's a scene where someone is stabbing someone repeatedly in the face. And I just suddenly thought, I had a flashback to when I watched Joker with Joaquin Phoenix, where I literally hid under my coat having a panic attack.
Oh my God.
But it's like, same with The Long Walk. I can't.
I was
going to
say, I remember
hide.
When you came out of that being like, this
I was
scene.
Like, I'm never seeing that ever again. Yeah. So I have a real problem, especially in the cinema, because I feel very trapped and that I can't escape. Whereas if I watch it at home, I feel a little bit more safe. Yeah. So I will watch Weapons. Yeah. And it's, I know I'm probably going to love it.
Yeah, you're going to like
but
it.
But I think it's more because you obviously have the surround sound and you'll hear the injury
the whole,
way more detail.
Yeah, have you seen Warfare? Did you see Warfare?
No, because I knew I would have this problem.
I was going to say don't see it because even I was like...
So I literally felt so bad. I was like, Luelle, I will buy you food. I will...
Yeah, I think we went home and we'd watched something really like light.
I can't even remember.
To undo the trauma that never
came. Did we watch Supernatural? Which is really rogue.
That's not light, but
which
isn't
light.
We watched Supernatural, true, because I was watching that. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Just because I didn't think I would be able to cope.
Yeah, fair. Should we move on with the BAFTA things? I think otherwise we'll never get through.
Actress in a leading role.
Jessie Buckley.
Jessie Buckley.
I just love her. I know she's kind of swept through award season and taken a lot, but I also just think...
She deserves it.
She does.
Yeah. I mean, again, everyone nominated deserves it, but she, like, her performance was breathtaking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Breathtaking. And also, I really enjoyed watching her interviews that she's done around Hamnet and the production of it. And she's so... like mesmerizing to listen to and wonderful, like genuinely so wonderful. And she's such a sweet bean.
Yeah.
She just seems so wonderful. And I think I think like I've been aware of her for a longer time, but I think, does it make sense when I say Hollywood maybe hasn't been?
Yeah, no, I agree.
Because she's been quite like stage, theater, a lot of like indie productions and stuff.
Yeah.
And if you've seen her, she's always left an impact because of the way she is, and her energy is just captivating.
I think it was The Lost Daughter that kind of started breaking her out into that side of the industry a bit more.
Mm-hmm. And I have rarely been left so utterly speechless by a performance. Yeah. And she really, there's so many scenes within that film that it's just, she carries the entire world on her shoulders in that movie, and she does it beautifully.
Mm-hmm. And how Chloe Zhao would have set that up for her as well to shine, I think. They all just were like, everything was right.
Yeah.
In the right time, right place, right people. Because even Paul, I thought his performance, there's a scene when he's like breaking down at the desk. It's right before he leaves to London. And I was just like, that.
Yeah.
I also thought he shone. Yeah. I thought everyone shone in that.
Yeah. Did you see? This really made me laugh. There's a bit where someone's clipped the swimming scene from Hamnet and gone, this is an incorrect front crawl. It didn't exist until this period of time. This film is no longer historically accurate.
Please, leave some things, guys.
No,
leave some things.
They said it as a joke to take the mick out of people who were like, oh, he had an earring. This isn't accurate. And
sometimes
it was just like,
I
this really specific swimming crawl didn't exist. I was dying.
No, but on that, sometimes, I mean, I agree that, like, of course, if you're doing like a period piece or you're doing something that's centered around a certain era of time, it needs to be to a certain amount accurate. But then also sometimes leave film be. Not everything needs to be 100% perfect to someone who studied that exact period of time or something. Sometimes I feel like just give people the freedom, as long as it's not A, offensive, B, relevant, like to the context of the story, or as long as they don't pull out an iPhone in Shakespearean England, we're fine. Does that make sense?
We're not in the 1600s.
No.
Like, we can't get everything to be accurate.
Sometimes I hate that social media is, I think it does both for film. It showcases the magnificence of film, but I think it also sometimes really highlights the toxicity of that community and that industry sometimes.
Yeah,
where
I agree.
Where it's like any, like, I guess, interpretation of something, if it's something that isn't, like, I say this very carefully, because as long as it's not offensive and crossing a line.
Yeah, of course.
But it's just like, I mean, for all I care, the Starbucks cup in Game of Thrones.
Funny.
Right? But some people really got aggressive behind that and like scrutinized it. And I'm like, okay, yes, it's a multi-billion, like,
they should, to be
production,
fair,
million should've. Probably, not billion, but like, you should have removed the Starbucks cup.
Yeah.
But also, it's funny.
I think it's funny.
Really funny.
Also, just own it, because really if you're weird about it, that makes it worse. Yeah, and I think people get more upset.
And I also whereas think, if also, you're let just, the man wear, like, let him have an earring.
And also,
who cares?
With Hamnet, because I read the book only a few months ago, and I know Maggie O'Farrell was really heavily involved. Perhaps she was even producer, actually, on this film. Mm. And she even has a whole extract at the back where she was like, outlines the lengths of research she went to for this, the archives, the collectors, the curators spoke to.
It's what Lucy Rose Lennett was saying, who we had on recently, about the, like, all of the research that went into the costumes and stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there will, but like what I think then sometimes happens is that someone goes, oh, that colour of brown didn't exist. I'm like, shush.
Yeah.
Shush.
It's to evoke shush. If the audience goes away feeling right. how you intended
but like it
to,
happens. Sometimes I see videos like that and they're like, true. Actually, this colour of magenta didn't exist because they only mixed this and that and not that.
But
and
then
that.
They need to see a documentary because this isn't going to be, this
is a piece of art.
Yeah.
It's an interpretation of a world that no longer exists because we've actually technologically moved on.
Yeah.
You know, we can only do so much.
Yeah. Sorry, I went on a tangent.
That's okay. Let's go to actor in a leading role because that was a bit of a surprise.
Yeah.
I think
I'm
a bit like
ecstatic.
I think with Jesse Buckley, I think a lot of people have been just expecting Timothy Chalamet to win.
I don't think they were for the BAFTAs. I think they're expecting him to win for the... Yeah, I think Timothée Chalamet is the front runner as of right now for the Oscars.
Really?
Or at least what a lot of people are predicting.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if, like, the Variety prediction is predicting him. I'm actually not certain. But I think for the BAFTAs, it was Leo. That people thought were going
to
win.
But I also just think generally people have been expecting it to be the fight between Timothy and Leonardo.
Yeah. Who else? So it was Robert.
It was Ethan Hawke.
I've not seen the film, but I saw, I think it was two or three critics who said that they wouldn't be surprised if the Oscar goes to Ethan Hawke.
Interesting.
I haven't seen the film yet and I really want to before the Oscars happen because I've heard so much like just rave about his performance in that. I actually think, I think Variety is predicting Ethan Hawke as well, which I thought was really interesting.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of critics who are saying that they wouldn't be surprised if he beats Timothée Chalamet in that run-up.
Oh, wow. Mm.
And a lot of people are saying that Michael B. Jordan might also beat Timothée Chalamet out of that running.
Well, it's interesting looking at the noms for BAFTA because they do generally have more nominations. So they had, spoiler alert, the winner, Robert Arifaio.
Can I just say that I love that man.
Gorgeous man.
I love that man.
Such an... Lord of the Rings elf.
Such
face.
A Lord of the Rings elf.
I just kept saying that. I was like, yep, he's an elf.
Yeah. I mean, he plays one and he's like phenomenal. One. He played young Ned Stark in Game of Thrones
I
as
know.
Well.
He's been Did a- he?
Yeah. Yeah. He's been around for a while.
Sure know that.
He's been around for a while and I really don't think that he was expecting to win. I mean,
he really wasn't.
This is the big category.
Yeah.
Right? This is the most competitive category
and
that
people
there
have
is.
Been, he looks, he's going against people who've been nominated multiple times.
Look who he
as
was
well.
Up against.
Yeah.
I would also have been like, I'm happy to be nominated. I'm grateful.
Exactly.
My kind of rogue. I kind of wanted, and he didn't get a nom for Oscars, was Jesse Plemons.
Yeah.
I was kind of rooting for him.
Begonia. Yeah. I'm really interested to see how Begonia is going to do at the Oscars.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because it didn't get any like awards at the BAFTAs.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be surprised if
that wins something at the Oscars.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go as far as like saying, oh, maybe it will win Best Picture, but it's nominated. And yeah. I actually think it stands a good chance.
Yeah. It's nominated for not that much, though. It's only Best Picture and I think Score.
Oh, is it?
They didn't get that many nominations at the Oscars, which I think is why...
I think the Best Picture is going to go to Sinners. Because...
At Oscars?
Yeah, I needed to. I need to. It's going to go to One Battle After
I think it's going to go to One.
I know.
But like that to happen, yeah. And I would be absolutely thrilled. I'd be jumping around, screaming. But
One Battle After Another.
I think Paul Thomas Anderson is going to do really
But listen, if Begonia would get it and would be like the underdog that nobody expected, I would be like, yeah, thrilled. Okay.
I loved that film. Yeah. It was great.
Be like, right, cool.
Then going back to Robert Aramayo,
after he won.
He'd already won E.E. BAFTA Rising Star.
Which I don't think he saw coming either.
I think I kind of love the Rising Star Award.
I love it,
because it has... it's kind of been memed and clipped around recently where there was the year where it was like Florence Pugh, Timothy Chalamet, Josh O'Connor. Mm. And I think that kind of encapsulates that award in that it does weirdly have such a good knack for predicting who the next big star is going to be.
Well, also the award helps.
Well, yes, but then also
if you
look at who was nominated in that thing, they're now all... in some of the biggest films.
Oh, yeah.
And so you kind of look at who was nominated this year and you're like, oh, really interesting. Yeah. Rob Aramayo then wins. And then he wins lead actor. And I was so... I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah. I didn't know if my, like, thing had glitched and gone back a bit. I was like, wait, am I still alive?
I know.
And has that happened before? Four?
I don't think so.
So that's history.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I know there was a lot of historic wins. Actually.
Yeah. I really do love that.
Ryan Coogler.
Yeah, Ryan Coogler versus Black Man to win original screenplay.
I mean, that screenplay.
Also,
insane.
Is it Marty Supreme historic most losses?
Yeah.
11 losses.
Yeah.
But yeah, Robert.
Yeah. It's really wonderful to see. Quote unquote the underdog, because I mean, I think a lot of people know who he is, but that means a lot, I think, for the industry, right?
And I think it puts him on the map critically, because I Swear is a film that has done well in the UK, done really well. Oscars, obviously, because it's Hollywood, but nothing. But I think because of that room and the people in that room, it does then put attention onto these people.
Yeah.
Like, I remember, and not that this is, it's kind of in the same vein, but Chloe Zhao saying she always pays attention to a lot of UK casting choices, especially with Christopher Nolan stuff, because she knows a lot of them might end up becoming a big star. And I feel like it's that kind of same principle with him winning Best Actor. Yeah. I mean, it could go the other way. Hope it doesn't, because he's amazing. But
phenomenal.
I think it does put people on the map a little bit for the rest of the world to be like, oh, okay, what's this?
Mm. Yeah, 100%. It makes me think about... I remember her example because I grew up watching her on TV, but Mia McKenna-Bruce, who obviously started off in like The Dumping Ground and CBBC.
Classic, like, and she did kids some, TV.
Yeah, and then she did some indie stuff. I think she did How to Have Sex, which, and a couple of things.
Then got her nomination then win.
And now look, she's in the Beatles. She's been filming in the Beatles films.
Yeah.
She's in an Agatha Christie series on Netflix.
Yeah.
Her career has soared, and it's like she will always be as talented as she was before the award and after the award.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But all it did was just give her that visibility, which she really well does, and they all deserve it.
Yeah.
But it's interesting how like they were talented before, but it's more seen after, which is a sad thing, but it's also an important and good thing that it goes to the right person. Yeah. So I love that award.
It's kind of the weird thing of hating to want to be critically received well, but then also recognizing the importance of getting recognition because your peers are what elevate you. And which is why I'm excited actually for the Actors Awards, because I think that is such an environment where your peers are bringing you up. And also actually I kind of loved, there was that moment in Rob Aramayo's speech where
he talks
about Ethan Hawke, and I love that because Ethan Hawke is such a big advocate for actors and for actors bringing each other up, he talks about Robin Williams quite a lot, getting him his first agent. And that moment, I think you could see he, I think someone...
Did he not turn around and said, this is better than winning?
Yeah. And I think that encapsulates the importance of the atmosphere these awards create.
And what I also really love is that the Rising Star Award creates community between all of the... everyone that's nominated. It's like a little cohort every year. And I follow Posy Sterling quite closely because I really like her and I really like the work that she's done over the last couple of months. And her and Robert did like a shoot together beforehand. And then all of them did like the same red carpet interviews. Miles Catton, of course, also phenomenal. And, you know, like... that's like such a group that has each other and that can support each other because they're all up and coming. They've all gone through similar journeys, you know, and I think it can feel very isolating. Especially if you're just about to start out in an industry that is so overwhelming, that has so many closed doors, that is so much about who you know, how you know them, etc. The UK is a bit more open when it comes to these things than the US, I do have to say. But, I think there's such strength in having these people who are going through the exact same thing, who are in a similar stage of their career to you. And, you know, that you really have someone who understands you at the table.
For sure. I think a lot of the time, especially with actors coming into it, I think you've spent so long fighting for number one and for you and advocating for yourself. And then I think when you're put in a room with people who... you know, as like farcical as it is, you've all been nominated for the same thing. I think it's so lovely when everyone's like, oh my God, we're in it. We've all done this. We've all fought for this. And then I can now root for you and root for us and root for us and our recognition and the fact that we've got here, rather than like for so long having to work so hard. And I'm not saying they don't still do that, obviously, but I think it's a lovely little respite and reminder that, you know, you're not alone in this and other people have done this.
And as a, like an actor, like watching it, who's like years before, even where they're at now, it's like, it's so interesting because for an industry or a career that's so rooted in connection, in dynamics, in relationships, on and off camera and stories and networking, it's actually such a lonely job and thing to pursue. You're on your own, and
no one can do it for you.
And not only are you being critiqued by everyone, you're also so self-critical on yourself because, you know, you're beaten back down to be a shell and you're like retrained from the ground up, and that, you know, sometimes that's necessary. But I mean, I also think it's so isolating and scary, and you really think that you are on your own and no one else really understands and no one else could understand. And then you get put in a room with four or five other people who have all just been recognised, and you've just had a bit of like, oh my God, I can breathe. Like, this, this is why I can just like bask in it for a second. And it's that's not a selfish thing to do, even though it feels like it kind of could be, but it's not at all.
It's self-interest that then you can have a community of people who have that same.
I also love that they always bring back the winner from like the UK.
David Johnson.
I know, we were like, oh my God.
And he's been insane. Wasteman,
I still haven't seen.
I know, I really
need to
see it.
And I am dying to see. Dying to see. It looks great. And it has really good reviews as well. I'm dying to see that. Well, and also, one thing I do want to shout out that I haven't seen yet. What is it? My Father's Shadow? I'm dying to.
I need to.
You did.
I was like, critically in the UK are going to go nuts for this because BFI have gone very in on it. A lot of the independent cinemas have been booking pre-BAFTAs, so pre-win. They're now probably going to be booked till next Christmas. But have been booking interviews, panels with the actors and the team behind this film.
The director,
and so when we were doing our little ballot sheet, I was like, do you know what? I think My Father's Shadow's going to win.
And their speech as well was so, talk about being grateful. Like, I was tearing up watching their speech.
I guess rooting on to the next one. Best Picture.
Best Picture.
Paul Thomas Anderson, One Battle After Another.
Again, he also one director.
He did, yeah. And he won adapted screenplay.
Yeah.
So he had a big, wins. They had a big night.
Yeah.
Again,
interesting, isn't it?
Kind of a little segue. He, in his speech, I thought, which was kind of funny, was like, "Let's all go to the pub."
Yeah.
Let's all
which
go
again
to
is
pub,
like
yeah.
that lovely little communal atmosphere yeah. that yeah. we were just talking about. But yeah, One Battle After Another did do well. Mm. I was saying before we started recording, what I think is really funny. There's a lot of our friends who aren't really in the film world as or as entrenched in it as we are have gone, why is this film that I've never heard about one?
Interesting, though, because...
baffles
no, that yeah. baffles me too, because I thought that was the film that everyone's heard about.
Yeah. yeah.
Because Leonardo DiCaprio,
yeah.
people usually know what
know.
The man's up to.
Also, like, Tiana Taylor.
Yeah,
like,
Tiana Taylor.
Do you know what
even
I mean?
Chase Infinity.
And she
like,
was nominated
she,
for the yeah. Rising Star, wasn't
she? Was,
she?
Yeah. she was.
But like even Chase Infinity has become, within a short amount of time,
yeah.
such mm-hmm. a staple name
for sure.
to me.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Does
yeah.
that make sense? And the movie, to me, became, really quickly, became this... like best picture
yeah.
yeah
and I had a similar conversation with a friend of mine and she was like oh what film and I was like sorry
I had yeah, three people yeah, yeah, yeah. in like yesterday just yeah. say because they came up to me to ask me about the yeah. BAFTAs as if I'm like the spokesperson
yeah
and they were just like what I've never heard of that what oh. the hell is this and yeah. I just thought
interesting
but then I thought knowing my close friends we do just live in the cinema
yeah.
so I was yeah, like yeah. yeah I might have not the yeah. right perspective on this potentially
yeah. and I yeah and I also feel like the way I kind of feel you know we were talking about Sinners and how it's so multifaceted and not necessarily the road people were expecting it to go down at least at the beginning
yeah
based on the press for it I kind of felt that way with One Battle After Another as well to an extent because I really thought it would just be like a big adventure movie and you know lots of chasing and fighting
yeah
but it had such a depth to it particularly with Sean Penn's character and Chase her character and Jessica their development too, yeah. yeah and also it's so funny
yeah
Leonardo is so silly funny. In it you yeah. know you don't expect him to be the one the hero who's going yeah. out to save the day you don't expect the way his character is in the film to yeah. be someone that could go so it's just like you feel like you're just seeing even though you know it's Leonardo but you're seeing like a normal man in the context of the film just fighting for his daughter and I just thought again it's not something I was expecting
yeah
so multifaceted
for yeah. sure
I left just feeling like oh my god yeah. I just was not expecting that but it's no. so yeah. good
and I remember when it first came out a lot of people before it was hyped I guess to the film world because apparently a lot of people don't know what it is which I just still find funny but I remember when it first came out there were all these posts that were kind of going along the lines of I hate to say it, but I think we've already watched our Oscar winner.
I'm not sure. I like a lot of people are saying it, but I'm really actually not sure. I'm finding it really hard to say like with confidence that I think this is going to win.
Well, especially yeah. I think
the
nominator. I'm like,
yeah, the nominations are very strong this year. They're all like very different as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? They're all very different, I think. So we have what? We have Begonia, we've got One Battle After Another, we've got Sinners, we've got Hamnet. We've got, what else have we got?
We've got Sentiment. Train Dreams.
Oh, Train Dreams. I still haven't seen that.
I just love that Nick Cave did the score.
Yeah.
Secret Agent. Also,
oh,
F1.
Secret.
Yes. Yeah.
Really?
F1.
Is that a Best Picture nominee?
F1. Well.
But, interesting.
Yeah, Best Picture.
Interesting. F1. Okay.
Frankenstein as well.
Frankenstein.
Yeah. Which I recently watched and...
Yeah.
Yeah. I can see why that one makeup and special effects.
And
what's it called? The
makeup.
Oh, makeup, yeah.
Special effects definitely went
it
to Avatar.
It was literally called special effects makeup.
But I love that they were like, shout out to Jacob Elordi. For what was it, 10 hours or something crazy he had to sit to become the monster?
Him. And you haven't even started yet.
Bless him. But I think it's going to be between, I can't say the word between.
That's
where my German comes out. I think it's going to be a battle between one battle
a battle
after,
between the battle
battle one battle after like another it. Sinners Begonia
yeah do you think
weirdly
Hamlet for an Oscars or oh,
I don't know
Oscars?
It's
not sure
it is definitely a nomination and it should be I wouldn't be mad if it wins, but I don't see it getting the nomination. Whereas I think Chloe Zhao is one of my like main contenders for Best Director.
Yeah.
Because I think that is going to be either her Paul Thomas Anderson or Ryan Coogler. I think those are the three for me that I see it like leaning towards the most. I wouldn't like, again, all phenomenal, everybody in that. Oh, is Joachim Trier nominated?
He is, and Josh Safdie.
And Josh Safdie.
I don't think he'll get.
No, I don't. Safdie will get it. No, I don't think so. I mean, Marty Supreme surprised me.
Yeah,
I was really surprised, which is why I think Timothée Chalamet stands a really high, like a really good chance of getting Best Actor.
Mm-hmm.
But for director, I really see it going to my top runner is Ryan Coogler.
I would love.
Yeah. Also, haven't seen. I mean,
to win.
I would as well, and it would mean the world to him. I think Paul Thomas Anderson, of course. And Chloe Zhao. Mm-hmm. I think those are the... I love Joachim Trier. He is one of my favourite directors. We were saying that earlier.
We're just going through a cinematography being like, yep, love,
love, love, love. The Worst Person in the World is one of the most phenomenal films I've ever
changed
seen.
Changed my life. Yeah. I literally was sat there Oslo's, going, what?
Oslo's great.
I love that film.
Sentimental Value is great.
Shouting out the actor in that. Yeah. I think he's great. GP King.
Yeah.
Love that he's a GP.
Yeah, I mean, they're all great, but
tough.
It's really tough.
I'm even more for that. I'm so excited for it because I'm just like, I'd kind of be happy with quite a few. I feel like whatever direction it goes in, I'll kind of be like, yeah, okay.
I'll be like, yeah, you know? I see the value in this of having one.
Yeah.
You know? So I guess...
Yeah. Well,
is there anything that you're particularly looking forward to in the Oscars? I think what's interesting with the Oscars is they do
cinematography.
Have a couple... more like they have original song as well as original score, you know.
Because original song has to go to Senate.
Well, Ludvig Göransson got score at BAFTA.
Wait, original song, is that going up against K-pop Demon Hunters?
I've got them here.
Yeah, ignore it. And that's gonna go to them,
it's going to Golden, which they performed at the BAFTAs.
Yeah, they did.
And what I find hilarious is potentially the British audience was maybe not the right audience for this phenomenal singing.
It would just kind of pan to them. They'd be like...
I know, and they'd all be like... Well, it's like Cillian Murphy cam, which I thought was hilarious. Like the one time he smiled was when Stormzy got his skips and when Chelsea Buckley got a win. She's Irish.
Yeah.
And I just love him so much.
Yeah.
He's so phenomenal. Like, he's so dead funny. Inside. But yeah, they'd pan... They were, you know, singing their asses off.
And I also shout... Yeah.
The audience is like...
I know.
It's a very catchy song, I fear.
It is.
I mean, and that must have been
to it. I've never listened to it, but I know the entire song.
Yeah.
Beginning to end. By like it's just,
yeah. And also speaking of stories, like that hers is EJ, I think him sings the lead in that. Her story's so inspiring. So like see her, that's such like a cyclical moment. Like now she's getting her moment.
Yeah.
Even though she was promised this when she was 15?
I know. Yeah.
And also Jessie Ware's performance. Was, you know, when they commemorated to everyone that we've lost. And her singing, she's got such a beautiful way of just, like, honouring the text of the song and, like, not... Like, there were moments where it wasn't even full pelt. It was, like, it was basically, like, speak singing. And I was just, like, I was really listening to what... It was, like, she sang it like it was a monologue.
Yeah.
And I was really... she was such a good choice for such an important, like, emotional moment.
I just feel a bit... stupid saying this at the tail end of that, but I really wanted to see an Irish jig from the Senate's cast.
Yeah.
Oh, do you think maybe the Oscars?
No, they'll perform I Lied to You, which is the nominated song. Yeah. Because they usually do, right? They usually perform...
Not all of them, but most of them usually. Depends on what's nominated.
When was it when they had I'm Just Ken?
I was just thinking
was
that.
Was that last year or the year before?
That was three years ago.
That was Barbenheimer.
That was 3 years ago. That's so scary.
That was it 3 years ago? Is that a lie?
What is time?
Something like that. I think it might be a lie. I think two, yeah.
Guess.
I don't know.
They've had some fun songs on there.
Yeah,
Maybe they could do. I could see the Sinners if they did that. You know,
because I was like, Jack O'Connell's there. Get him on.
Give him a guitar.
Come on. Do a quick little, you know,
little jig.
Rock. What's it? Rocky Road to Dublin.
Yeah.
But yeah, do we know who's hosting the Oscars?
Yes. It is Conan O'Brien again.
I liked him. Yeah. I thought he did a really good job.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess. All will be revealed.
And it's, yeah, and it's exciting, isn't it?
And we will.
Yeah, we will be.
Excited about the SAG actors. Yeah. I keep calling them the SAG Awards. It's the actual awards
happening
now.
On Sunday. So they will have happened by the time this comes out.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, they will have just happened.
So future us.
Future us.
Enjoy.
Enjoy.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. I think that's it. Because I'm not really looking. Is there anything coming out soon? Oh my god, I saw that in 2027 apparently we're getting a new Ice Age.
Yeah, I saw your message this morning.
I love Ice Age.
What,
I
like
love
a remake of it, or no, like a new one?
Yeah, it's live action. They found mammoths.
Can you imagine?
They've defrosted.
I would like to play that little thing that keeps losing his nut.
Oh, the squirrel.
Oh,
yeah.
It's my favourite.
God, I need to rewatch that. It's
me too.
Years.
Yeah. Oh my god, we should do an Ice Age.
You know what's really funny to me? Hear me out. The Ice Age trilogy. Here I go. I think the first one is beautiful.
Yeah.
Sobbing. Such an emotional film. Obviously, it's still got the kids' elements to it, but it's such a beautiful film.
The dinosaurs.
And then it devolves into okay, Queen Latifah slay, but also, why are there dinosaurs?
I love
the one
with
the
dinosaurs. That's my favourite one. It's when they it's when the I don't know what it's called, the nut thing, the squirrel.
Yeah,
is it a squirrel?
I don't know. He's a flying squirrel.
He's a fly, but he can't fly. He keeps falling.
Doesn't he fly?
Does he fly?
He flies in the dinosaur one.
I don't know. I think he's just.
Have I hallucinated that?
I don't know. He might be a flying squirrel. No, because I remember him.
Oh no, he tries to. There is a flying squirrel, and he can't.
Exactly, because isn't the flying squirrel he falls in love.
He falls in love with her.
With the flying squirrel,
and she steals the acorn.
The acorn is not a nut. It's an acorn.
He tries to fly.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's.
Why do I remember that?
It's like he accidentally opens something, and then Sid finds the dinosaur eggs, and then he has the three dinosaurs, and then he
becomes a mum.
He becomes a mum, and then he co-parents with the dinosaur.
Yeah,
I do have a vague. Which is the one when that's that little boy who gets lost? Is that the first one?
Yeah, that's the first one. Yeah,
okay, that's the one I watched loads.
It's the third one. Is it the third one, the dinosaur one?
Yeah,
when Ellie's
Dawn
pregnant.
Of the Dinosaur.
There's three.
There's five.
The one was already out.
The fifth one has aliens.
Oh, I don't think I've actually seen that one.
The fourth one is the.
Is that the one with the grandma?
The Sit's fourth grandma. One is when everything's melting.
Yeah, that's the one with Sit's grandma.
And then the fifth one that's aliens.
Not seen that.
I haven't either.
Prince Charles, can we get this on the schedule, please?
You can go to the Prince Charles and you can write on the
board. 1 to 5, please.
Because they have a, submissions board. Go and write Ice Age.
Yeah, Ice Age. Yeah, please. Can I just have a marathon of the Ice Age?
There is.
I'm trying to think what else I'm
doing. Shrek's coming out soon. Semi soon.
I'm looking forward to The Testament of Anne Lee.
Okay, so yeah.
How did we make the connection from Shrek 5 to The Testament of Anne Lee?
My brain.
My
brain was on a 5-second delay, and as soon as I'd already committed to saying it.
And we're going with it.
But also Shrek, yes. I love Shrek.
But yes, Testament of Anne Lee. I am excited for both as well.
Her performance, Amanda's performance.
I was like, oh, okay. I'm really excited for the drama.
And
the Robert Pattinson.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were saying the drama of the Testament of Anne Lee. I was going to say the score as well.
But the drama, the Zendaya.
The A24
Robert Pattinson
one. I saw the trailer for that. It looks really good.
When is that coming out? Soonish, May-ish, I think.
Do you know what I saw?
We'll be all over that. We need to go together.
I saw the trailer for and I'm a bit scared of.
What?
The new Pride and Prejudice.
I haven't seen the trailer. Is it out?
I haven't seen the trailer yet.
I saw the trailer. And I fear I'm too much of a Keira Knightley, Matthew McFadden purist. I don't think I'm going to enjoy it.
I just don't think they can do it any better than the 2004.
And it's,
2004,
no, 2004. It's nothing against the actors.
Yeah.
I watched it and I went, but that's not Matthew McFadden.
Yeah.
No, we should not now, but we should talk about Hollywood's need to constantly remake things.
Yeah.
Sometimes
I'd love to do an episode on that.
Yeah. Sometimes things are better left, but also sometimes I love when they redo them if they redo them good.
Yeah,
if that makes sense. I'm still gonna watch that. I'm still gonna watch Pride and Prejudice because I'm intrigued.
Also,
I also haven't seen the trailer yet.
Me too. But yeah, sometimes it feels like a bit of a cash grab, and then sometimes it feels like they've actually had a vision here, and then it feels thought through.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, or it's like a different, I guess, interpretation of it.
Yeah, I'm all for that.
It's really interesting because we're seeing such a rise in adaptations that used to be movies then being TV shows, so they're trying to stay more accurate to the actual source material.
True. It's like Lord of the Flies at the moment.
Yeah.
First ever TV adaptation of the book.
But I quite like what they're doing with like Narnia at the moment, because they're actually doing the prequel.
Oh, the Greta Gerwig.
Yeah, and it's not, they're not even remaking Narnia. They're doing the prequel
but
to it.
They've set them in a different time, which doesn't make sense with the rest of the Chronicles of Narnia.
But then they must
don't get me started on this.
Yeah.
I've had so many deep chats with people about how the timeline doesn't make sense because
I grew up on those books as well.
Yeah. I'm excited. I love Greta Gerwig, so
I'm really intrigued.
I feel it will
also
be fine.
The cast is phenomenal. Yeah.
It's also phenomenal. Interesting.
Is it Emma Mackey who is playing the White Witch?
Yeah, or like the first witch.
I'm still obsessed.
It is the White Witch. I think.
I'll
never get over Edmund throwing all his siblings under the bus for a bit of Turkish
light. And it's Turkish light isn't even that nice.
I quite like it, but I don't like it if it's like when it's authentic, because it's not too like artificially sweet.
Mm-hmm.
There is really bad ones after I watched Narnia for the first time, I remember that I think me and my, I don't know where we went, but we went somewhere and they had Turkish delight, but so overly processed and sugar.
Yeah,
I was like, whoa.
It's basically a jelly baby at that point.
Yeah,
and you're like,
and I was like, and then I had a really good one once from like a Turkish market. And I was like, this is what it's supposed to be.
Also,
the whole point is obviously he's been living on rationing.
Yeah.
So hasn't had any sugar probably for years.
Yeah.
So I do feel
there's a deeper.
You know, there's like actual context. But when you're a kid watching it, you're like, Turkish Delight.
Like, you know what's funny? Because I grew up in Amdram and they did a musical and there's a song called Turkish Delight. And it's like, Turkish Delight.
Oh.
It's really out of pocket.
And on that note.
And on that note. Well, yeah.
Thank you guys for listening.
Yeah, thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you very soon.
Yeah,
I'll be like, thanks for watching the episode. Listen to us chat about toast and then I'll put in our baking show.
Hi. Yeah. Is this Coolio?
Amy, can you talk into your mic, please? Your mic is fine.
Posture.
Oh,
I just cracked something really deep into my ribs.
We love a DIY. I was about to say orthopedic surgery, if that's not what that is.
Orthopedic,
what you call it when you crack the...
Yeah, I was like, DIY orthopedic surgery.
No, please.
Should I crack my leg?
Oh my God.
I'm so scared of that.
That's horrific ASMR. horrific hellscape ASMR.
Well, I don't know who taught me this, but when I was a kid in primary school, somebody once taught me that if you like crack your... And I know this is... such bullshit. If you crack your back and then roll your eyes are going to get stuck in your head. And that terrified me for like, because I was like, what, 5? And that terrified me for year and a half. And I was terrified of rolling my eyes. And when I would accidentally do it, because I roll my eyes quite a lot, then I would always get really scared that they would be like stuck in my head.
Funny.
I don't know.
How would you even fix that?
I don't even know if that's a thing.
I don't think that's...
I don't know if you're like, I don't
debunked.
Know. Yeah. Maybe it's just because I roll my eyes so much that people just try to like get me to stop rolling my eyes at everything.
Well, I guess the equivalent here is if you go cross-eyed and the wind changes direction, you'll get stuck like that.
Yeah, classic.
My nan always, anyway.
Is that, so it's like, just like a saying?
I think so, yeah.
I think
I do roll my eyes a lot,
being
so.
Passive-aggressive. Hi everyone.
Hello.
Hi guys.
How are we all doing?
So
good.
This is my third coffee without breakfast, so I'm a bit...
I know, I low-key love it when I do that.
I do too, sometimes.
I'm like on top
sometimes.
Of the world.
At the moment, my stomach's a bit funky.
I'm
a sensitive bean.
Health.
So,
as well.
I don't think my stomach is loving it, but that's okay. How are you?
I'm good, yeah. I'm kind of vibes. I haven't really had a coffee or food today, so I'm kind of just running on vibes. Which is kind of doing well for me.
We've got to do better.
How are you?
Yeah,
I'm great. I had toast.
Yeah, love toast.
It was about this.
Review your toast out of 5.
How was your toast?
It was actually really fancy.
Nice.
Hi.